why today, as promised, we're looking in the book of Numbers. It'll be Numbers in the Bible. I'll be reading out of the Pew Bible. So if you'd like to follow me along and you didn't bring a Bible, it is page 112. Page 112. We're 113, how about? We're Numbers chapter 9. Numbers is the fourth book of the Bible. There are not a lot of sermons that come out of Numbers. Numbers happens this way. Genesis is the creation of the world all the way through the calling of Abraham, his people growing into a great nation in Egypt under Joseph, as our children are learning about in children's church today. In Exodus, they are slaves in Egypt. God calls them out and brings them out of Egypt. They get the law at Mount Sinai. Moses brings it down on the tablets. They learn how to build the tabernacle in Exodus. Leviticus is all of those laws recorded for the priests. And then in Numbers, you get the numbers. You get the genealogy. You get the list and accounting of all the people who are leaving Egypt, this great group of people. And now as we find ourselves today in chapter 9, the people are about to set out from Sinai. They have just started their journey. They are freed. They are no longer slaves. They have received the law from God through Moses on Mount Sinai, and they are getting ready to pack up and start moving forward. I want to throw a name out to you. And let's just see. We're going to do an experiment here. If I threw this name out, I want to know who would have heard this name and knows about this name. If I said, you ready? Chance the Rapper. Anybody? Chance the Rapper? Where are you? I mean, he only just won the Grammy. He won three Grammys this year. Best Album, Best New Artist. What was the other one? He won the big three Grammys this year, so you might need to pay attention to the young man. Chance the Rapper. You might not. I'm not endorsing his music at all, but this is a big event that happened. The thing that's wild about young Chance, the 23-year-old young man from Detroit, is he sort of had everything stacked against him, having grown up without a father in Detroit, of all places. And yet he has broken out as a musician, as one of the more popular ones right now, and get this, just won three Grammys, having not sold a single album. He's been giving away his music. He doesn't have a record deal. He didn't sign with anybody to do his records. He's just been giving it out. He just released his third mixtape, and he did it all free. Millions of people have listened to these, and he just won three Grammys, and he hasn't sold a single album. Something bizarre is happening. Moreover, wait, it gets crazier. Oh, wait, there's more. His hit songs have been largely about faith, have been largely about his interest in Christ. Again, this is not to say that I endorse them. If you went to listen to them, we wouldn't play them in congregation here because that doesn't mean that they're all appropriate. So don't take this as an endorsement. But it's shocking, the story of this young man who has recently was making music, was doing well, but was also living a bad lifestyle, and his mother called him in and kneeled him down by the bed to pray with him and said, listen, you need to start following Christ and doing right, and I'm going to pray that God doesn't let you do anything that won't glorify him. And he makes this decision, follow Christ, and releases on Twitter 2 weeks ago a video of him and his cousin and some other people singing Chris Tomlin's How Great Is Our God, and then him rapping over it. And it's the most bizarre thing. I mean, what's going on here? What's happening? This is the collision of all kinds of culture, and I don't know what to do with this or make sense of it, except to pray for this young man that what God started in his life, he will continue to follow after. It's interesting to see because not everything is good in this guy's life yet. He just simply knows the name of Christ and wants to cry out to him. But I don't know him, and I'm not at all certain that he's chosen to really give his whole life to following Christ. But I've seen this again and again with students, with adults who have come to Christ over the years. That is, people who have come to Christ and had an emotional experience, heard someone share the gospel with them, and they've said, you know what, I'm in. Let's do this. Jesus Christ is Lord. And then have subsequently, and weeks and months later, gone, well, you know, but I'm still going to do what I want. I mean, let's be reasonable, right? Do you know people like this? It is the parable of the sower that Jesus teaches. Jesus saying that the gospel goes out like a sower sowing seeds, and he spreads them all out there, and some of the seeds fall on the path. Some of the seeds fall among the thorns. Some of the seeds fall in the gravel, and they cannot produce fruit. The seed is there, but it does not grow up. Yes, some of the seed falls on good soil and becomes a great plant that produces much more seeds in the future. I've seen so many people come to Christ, and with sadness, I've seen so many people sort of then slowly be less excited over the months, over the year. and choose to not follow after him with their life. You've got these fresh-faced believers, so much hope and excitement. We spend so much time praying for them that they will continue in the path that they've chosen to follow. And not all do. And that's what we have today here in Numbers chapter 9. Israel is fresh-faced in their pursuit after Christ. Israel is excited. They are not slaves anymore. They were literally just brought out of slavery by the miraculous work of God. They've been given the laws, and now they are to set off for the promised land. They're about to take their journey through the desert. They're now ready to follow Christ. How's Israel going to fare? That's what we're going to be looking at across the next few weeks as we go through Numbers leading up to revival. Pray with me, and we're going to begin reading Numbers chapter 9. Father God, I pray that the reading of your word and the hearing of your word would be worship to you today. Father, put your spirit on us to teach us something new about you so that we can worship you all the better. As I pray in your name, amen. Chapter 9, buckle up, we're reading all of it. The Lord spoke to Moses in the desert of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they came out of Egypt. He said, have the Israelites celebrate the Passover at the appointed time. Celebrate it at the appointed time at twilight on the 14th day of this month in accordance with all its rules and regulations. So Moses told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover, and they did so in the desert of Sinai at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. Israel did everything as the Lord commanded Moses. But some of them could not celebrate the Passover on that day because they were ceremonially unclean on account of a dead body. So they came to Moses and Aaron the same day, and they said to Moses, we have become unclean because of a dead body, but why should we be kept from presenting the Lord's offering with the other Israelites at the appointed time? And Moses answered them, wait until I find out what the Lord commands you concerning this. And the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, when any of you or your descendants are unclean because of a dead body or are away on a journey, they are to still celebrate the Lord's Passover, but they are to do it on the 14th day of the second month at twilight. They are to eat the lamb together with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, and they must not leave any of it until morning or break any of the bones. When they celebrate the Passover, they must follow all the regulations. But if anyone who is ceremonially clean and not on a journey fails to celebrate the Passover, they must be cut off from their people for not presenting the Lord's offering at the appointed time. They will bear the consequences of their sin. A foreigner residing among you is also to celebrate the Lord's Passover in accordance with the rules and regulations. You must have the same regulations for both the foreigner and the native born. On the day of the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant of law was set up. A cloud covered it. And from evening until morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it. At night, it looked like fire. And whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. And whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they camped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. And when the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord, and they did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then his command, they would set out. And sometimes the cloud stayed only for the evening till morning. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in the camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped. And at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his commands through Moses. The word of the Lord for us today. First thing that you have in this passage is the Passover. They are to celebrate this ceremony. It is critically important that they do so. Every year at exactly the same time, they get together and they celebrate what God did bringing them out of slavery. You'll recall they were in Egypt, and God sent Moses to declare these plagues against Egypt, where God was going to demonstrate his power as God, the one God over all other gods. And he does it plague by plague. God demonstrates, the God of Israel demonstrates, he is the one true God, so that not only Israel can believe, but that all of Egypt will believe that this is a real God who is not to be messed with. The very last plague, a punishment against Egypt. Last plague, God sends the angel of death out through the whole nation of Egypt. And every firstborn of every family is killed that night. Except God gave instructions to the Israelites that if they would follow his instructions, the angel of death might pass over their houses. They might be saved from the wrath of God in this way. And what they were to do was to gather their family together that night and take a lamb, a perfect, pure, unspeckled, unspotted lamb. And they were to kill it and cook it and eat it, all of it, not breaking a single bone of this one, not leaving any behind, but eat all of it. And they were to eat this meal standing up around the table, with their robes tucked in and their staves in hand, like they were ready to go as soon as they got the word, in faith that God was going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. And they were to take the blood of this lamb, and they were to go outside and smear it over the doors, all over the doorpost. And that any house that had the blood of the lamb smeared over the doorpost, the angel of death, the wrath of God, would pass over that house. They should not have to die, but that they could live, that whole family. So God said, you're going to remember this, how I, your God, brought you out of slavery, how I, your God, passed over you in your house, how death passed over and you were able to live and be free and no longer be slaves. This is the starting point for these people, and this is the starting point for all of us as well. You know that all of this was to point towards Jesus Christ, our Lord, on the cross. God himself, Jesus Christ, who existed before everything, who is uncreated himself, came down and took on flesh to walk amongst us. He lived a perfect life, proclaiming the kingdom of God, and he died the death of a sinner for us, that all the wrath of God should be paid for and satisfied by Jesus dying on that cross for everyone who would ever believe in him. That if your life is in Christ, if your life is, so to speak, covered in the blood of the Lamb, then your sins are forgiven. And though we may go to die, yet will we live. Our hope as Christians is that our sins have been paid for by Christ. There is no sin that you have committed that is not already forgiven in Christ if you will put your hope in him and believe. Death has passed over us who believe in Christ. For you who have not yet trusted your life to Christ, what are you waiting for? Do you know what you need to give in order to receive this gift from God? Nothing. Believe. There's nothing we could do, nothing we could pay in order to get God's good favor, but he has loved us anyway. Even while we were yet sinners, he has loved us. What's more, Christ rose from the grave. To anybody who puts their hope in him, the Holy Spirit is put on that person, and we are no longer living as slaves to sin. We live as people forgiven and empowered to follow Christ. So congregation, follow Christ today. This is where it all starts. It's all centered around the very work of God in the people of Israel. It's all centered around the work of God in our lives. That God, not needing to, but because he is good and because he has loved, did some big, beautiful, amazing, gracious act and brings his people out of slavery and makes it to where they don't have to worry about the wrath of God or death to come. They can be forgiven and have life in Christ. If you don't know that today, then today is your day. Today is your day to the first time stand up and proclaim with our brother who was baptized today that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus will be my Lord as well, and I will follow after him. If you haven't done that, make it public and make it loud that we can rejoice with you. Find that in putting your hope in Christ, we no longer live under the guilt of our sins. We live as forgiven people, dearly beloved by God. He has already died for you. He has already loved you that much. It is there for the taking. Take it today. This passage continues on. There's a question that arises. They are to take Passover and remembering what God has done. And someone voices the concern and says, well, we are ceremonially unclean because of touching a dead body. This is a part of the law. We aren't under the law any longer. They were under the law, and a part of the law is for touching a dead body, that is for handling somebody who's passed away, for doing the things necessary, for preparing their body for burial. You are ceremonially unclean for a certain season. This is about their set-asideness and about something that God has called them to do. Now, as for our men who work at funeral homes, who are around dead bodies, they are not ceremonially unclean. This is not a part of the law we're under. But the concern is the same. They're concerned because they can't come to the Passover and do this, so what are they supposed to do? They want to keep the law, they want to do right, but they can't make it. What can they do? Moses goes to God and asks, and God answers, and he includes not just those who have ceremonially unclean for one reason or another, but even those who are away on a journey. Apparently a legitimate reason to have missed this is that you're traveling in a foreign land and you simply couldn't get back in time to make it. He says, that's no problem. He says, there's still an opportunity. You come the next month, and if this will be practiced again. You come and celebrate the next month when you can, now that you are ceremonially clean, now that you have returned from your journey, there's a time for you to come and celebrate. However, there's a stern warning here. He says, however, if you are ceremonially clean, if you are not off on a journey, if you're simply kicked back at home, you need to be very weary. God's word is that you will be paying for your sins yourself if you do not take the opportunity to come and celebrate this with the rest of Israel. As a new believer, you who have come to trust Christ, you cannot neglect meeting with the congregation for worshiping. You simply cannot. It is not to say that if you miss a Sunday for sickness, if you miss a Sunday for traveling, that you're wrong, that you're unclean, that you have to worry about the wrath of God. This isn't Sharia law. God isn't putting us under some binding law. Rather, he's saying for your good, that you can grow up in faith, you actually have to come and worship with the congregation regularly. If you don't, what are you doing? You have to come together to hear Scripture preached so that you can know how to follow it. How will you know how to follow what God wants for your life if you never hear it? You must gather together with the congregation for the hearing of the word and for the worshiping of God together. He has put us in this together and called us together. When Christ was in the garden, before he went to the cross, he prayed, Father God, I pray that they will be one even as we are one. You simply cannot be a maverick Christian. You can't say, as so many of our friends do, I say with weeping, you can't do it on your own. You can't be a Christian and please God out there by yourself. You must join in with the congregation. That is how God builds us up. We don't practice the Passover. We practice communion. We do this in remembrance of him, remembering that Christ came and died for our sins, and just as Jesus instructed his disciples, we take the bread and we take the juice and we take them in remembrance of him, our demonstration of our faith, remembering that Christ's death was good enough for us. We practice this, six times a year. We take communion together. Did you miss it? It's okay. You know, there are legitimate reasons, even voiced here, to miss. I mean, are you sick? Do you have the flu? Please don't come. Please. I've got babies at home. You know, please. We have hand sanitizer stations everywhere. You might not be ceremonially unclean, but if you're like coughing all over yourself and sick, it's okay. You can listen to the sermons online. They're all posted out there. You can come next Sunday. We can bring you a bulletin to know what songs we were singing. Just wait. It's all right. God hasn't hated you for this. Are you traveling? Are you on a journey? Do you have a family obligation? It's okay. But do be weary. Do be cognizant. Sometimes the things that we come up with that are family obligations or reason to travel aren't excellent ones. You need to just simply pray about this. Again, we're not under this law. Rather, you need to ask yourself, how can I follow Christ best, and spend some time in prayer as a family. So we ask, Father God, is this a reasonable thing for us to travel for? Is this a reasonable reason for us to be away? Is this a reasonable amount of time for us to be away? God will answer this for you. But as a new believer, don't let things come between you and worshiping God with the congregation. You must be there together with everyone else if you're going to follow rightly. So they practice the Passover, their concerns aside. This is the last thing that they do before they leave. And the next thing we have is the tabernacle. This is their porta temple. It's their porta church, the tabernacle. It's a big tent, but it's a really fancy tent. And they take it with them wherever they go in order to worship God. And they break it all down and pack it up and start walking. And then when they need to stop, as they are told by God through this cloud to stop, they stop, they unpack their temple, and they worship God in it. And they do this as they go through the desert. God brought them out of slavery and said, I have a land, and it's a really good land, and I've prepared it for you. It's the exact same land that I promised Abraham. Now it's time for that promise to be fulfilled. So come on, we're going to go through the desert. I'll provide for you the whole time. God provides them food from the sky. He says, follow along. I'm going to take you to the land that I've promised to you. So they take their temple, their portable temple, their tabernacle, and they follow God's will. And God leads them every step of the way with this cloud that looks like fire, or this cloud that during the day looks like a cloud. You can see it at night lighting up the sky. They follow after this. Now, I know you might be thinking, well, gee, if I could get a cloud, that would be nice. You who wants to follow after Christ, you saying, okay, I'm in, I'm going to follow Jesus. What am I supposed to do in my life right now? Am I supposed to be leaving my job or staying in this job? Is this good parenting, or should we change our style? Am I doing the right thing over here? Is this okay? Should we be living here? Are we being called to move away? I know you're thinking to yourself, man, if I could just get a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire to lead me around, that would be the best, right? What Scripture says is that we have something even better than this cloud. We have God Himself, His Holy Spirit, who is on our life, leading us and guiding us. You must follow God. You who believe, He is near in your life. He has a specific purpose for your life. At whatever age you come to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord, my prayer for you is the same. That is, that this next season of your life would be the most fruitful season of your life. God has good work for you to do, regardless of what age you are. You are not too young in order to begin work in the kingdom of heaven, leading others to Christ. God has you in the situation that you are in, whether you're in middle school, high school, or college. God has you in that situation so that you can help other people come to know the joy of following Christ. If you are long since retired, God has you in the position in life so that you can reach out to the people around you and help them to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're never too young nor too old to follow the leading of Christ. He has a very specific plan and purpose for your life, and you must follow it. This isn't, you need to know, like children playing red light, green light, you know? This isn't willy-nilly, God leading. It seems like it is. You read that passage, and you see sometimes they stay overnight. It's like one night, cloud stops, they stop. They wake up in the morning, cloud's moving, they pack it up and get moving. Sometimes it's apparently over a year. You could almost be like, what's God getting at here? Is this just like children playing red light, green light? Where you're supposed to... What's the game red light, green light about when you're a child? You line everybody up on one side, and then the person gets to be it. And this is one of those games where you want to be it. And you get to say red light, and everyone starts running. You say, sorry, I'm not good at driving, I'll be honest with you. You get to say green light, kids start running. You say red light, everybody stops. What's the purpose of this game? The only purpose is to get to be it and feel powerful, right? I mean, every child wants to know the empowerment of getting to command red light, green light, red light. It's a great joy of childhood to have gotten to command all of your peers in one sitting, right? Is God just on a power trip here? Is this just red light, green light? Him? Okay, stop every, okay, come on. Whoa, whoa. All right, now you're going to stop for a year. All right, now come on. No. God is leading them intentionally and purposefully every day. There's not already always a clearly explained reason, but that does not mean that we are not to faithfully follow after God. Listen, in your life, there will be difficult seasons. Do you know what you need to do in a difficult season? Follow Christ rightly. Pray for guidance. You know that sometimes you will be in a difficult season intentionally by God's design? Do you know what you need to do in that season? Follow Christ faithfully and completely. I had a season in time. I've talked to some of the membership about this. I worked at a previous church before I was here, an excellent, godly place. I was there for 5 years. For the first two, this church was growing crazy. We were reaching all kinds of people. It was out of hand. And they brought me on because they needed some more pastors. I was an associate pastor. They brought me on because they needed more pastors to help stabilize this fast-growing church. After about 2 years, the pastor had to be asked to leave. It was sad. It was tragic. And then the church went through a 2-year-long interim without a pastor. That is a painfully long time This church went through about a 9-month one this time around, although it's had a 2-year in the past. That is a very long time that speaks to division in a church, an inability to agree on candidates or agree on a direction to move forward. And it was a long, painful season. At the beginning of that season, I was one of 6 pastors, full-time staff members on that church. And by the end of that 2 years, I was the last one left. I was the Highlander, is what I like to say. I was the only one when we brought in our new pastor. And it was a painful season. But I went to God and prayed, and I knew that he had me there for a reason. And though I was ready to go off and pastor a church, I knew that the answer from God was that I was supposed to stay here. This was still his church. These were his people. This was a hard season. But he wanted me to remain and see it through, and so I did. And I got to see it through. They brought in an excellent pastor, and the church has been rebounding for over 2 years now and is a very good season. And then I got to have the joy of coming out here. What a party this is, you guys. We're having a good time. Come on, y'all. It's a good time. It's a good time. I know. I don't know what I came out here, and I hear in like the Holy Spirit's here on the church, and this church is the kindest church ever. You guys need to know this. It's been that way, and I just get to be a part of it, and it was such a joy having gone through that season to get to be in a joyful season where now, in a joyful season, we've got one purpose together, right? We can't sit back. We've got to run in this good season, and the running is after the lost, but we have to reach out and help people come to believe. That's what good seasons are for. That's what bad seasons are for. No matter what, we follow the leading of Christ in all things, just like he had led his people Israel with the cloud and with the fire. God is always leading you. Are you curious if God is leading you in one direction or another? Are you saying to yourself, how do I know if God wants me to switch jobs or to move towns? How do I know if God wants me to do this or to do that thing? It's easy. We're not left alone. I got a couple of things for you. One way in which you can know if God is speaking to you, as we've said, you have the Holy Spirit on your life. Pray about it. God is with you. He will answer this prayer request. The second, how can you know God is leading you in one direction or another, is Scripture. We have the Word of God right in front of you. Do you feel like God is leading you to leave your wife? You, sir, are wrong. God is not leading you that way. I've read it. And you can read it clearly. Do you worry that God is leading you to do something evil? God is not. We have God's own Word here. We have our instruction for how we are to live, and let it guide you and how God is calling you. We have the Holy Spirit in our life, and we have another tool. We have each other. We have the congregation. We're not alone. Are you uncertain of how the Spirit is leading you? Talk to the congregation. Talk to your friends in Sunday school class. Find a deacon. Find a pastor. We'll talk with you and pray about this. You see, there are times for each and every one of us in our lives where we absolutely are certain that we're right and we're wrong. It happens to every single one of us. I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And you have your friends, the saints around you, your family members, the other people in the congregation saying, brother, we love you. That's not correct. At this time, you're misled here. We need each other on this. We have these three things: Scripture, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the rest of the saints to work out God's calling. I promise you, if you seek God's word, it will be clear to you. He will be able to lead you rightly. I call you today, everyone, to follow after these three things that you see here in Numbers chapter 9. The first of which is this: be atoned for. We don't celebrate the Passover as Israel did. That was for their time. We celebrate Christ who died for us, paid for our sins, who rose again, and is our living Savior. If you haven't put your hope in him, then put your hope in him today. Believe. Be forgiven. Be atoned for. Then, believing you, new believer, never miss an opportunity to worship God with a congregation. Sometimes you gotta, and that's okay. But don't miss it if you can't, or if you don't have to. Fight for it. You know, Sunday morning always starts on Saturday night, right? How you feeling this morning? Some of you a little tired? You need a little help getting up this morning? Listen, whatever you need to do to get up, do it. If it's a Red Bull or coffee, you know, get in there and get up so that you can be a part of the congregation. Sunday morning starts on Saturday night. You gotta go to bed. In order to be rested and be ready. Worshiping God starts when you say on Saturday night, all right, I'm going to bed, God. I'm doing this so that I will be well rested in the morning for worship, so that I can hear from you, so that I can participate rightly. Do right and participate with the congregation. The last thing that you're going to need to do is follow Christ with your life. He is leading and guiding you intentionally. He is involved in your life, and you need to follow after that calling. Wherever he calls you, even if it's in a difficult season, follow it. Norma McCovey passed away yesterday. You might know Norma by her legal pseudonym, Jane Roe, of Roe versus Wade. Norma passed away yesterday. Do you know that she was married? She had 3 children. That marriage dissolved. She ended up living with another woman in a romantic relationship for decades. And she was the plaintiff in the decision that the Supreme Court chose 7-2, not even close, to make abortion illegal in all of the United States those years ago. Did you know that Norma, after this happened in 1994, that she chose Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior? Did you know that she was baptized and spent the rest of her life fighting against abortion and helping counsel young women to keep the child, to give that child a chance? Do you know that she changed her life and turned it around like that? Listen, whatever's in your life, it is not so much that Jesus Christ does not love you and that his death on the cross was not good, was not enough for all of your sins. Did you have an abortion? There is grace and forgiveness for that from Jesus Christ. Did you advocate people do evil? Were you living in a wrong sexual relationship? What is it for you? Are you an alcoholic? Have you abandoned your family? Your sins are not so great that Jesus Christ has not loved you and paid for them all already before you were born. It is ridiculous, it is out of hand, and yet it is true. God has loved us that much. Do not let anything keep you from putting your hope in Christ today. New believer, do not let anything slow you down from growing in this faith, letting God complete the good work that he's begun in your life. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for the good work that you've begun in our lives, and I pray that you'd bring it about to completion. Father God, I pray for this odd music industry phenomena with people singing somewhat praiseful but perhaps somewhat prosperity gospel songs. I pray that whatever this is, that you would actually use it to lead people to you, that the work you've begun in these young men's lives, you would continue to completion. Father God, I pray that you would come soon and set all of these things right. But until that day, in good seasons and difficult seasons, we will be found worshiping Jesus Christ as Lord, and we will be found proclaiming to a world that God has loved them and forgiven them if they will come and put their lives in your hand. As I pray in your name, amen.